Thank you, Ron. It's good to have you with us tonight, and it's good to get to see you again and have a meal with you. And for the rest of you, you missed it. You didn't get any of Lori's spaghetti, but it was really good. Really good. So, again, tonight we're going to take up and try to do the rest of Jeremiah 29. We got down through verse 19 last time. And I don't have any idea, babe, what you did with your glasses. Probably look over yonder on the counter and see if you can find them. And we got through with verse 19 of Jeremiah 29 last time, and we're going to pick up, this is going to be study 80. And our word that we were using was walking. We've kind of gone and got off on a little sidebar here for a week or two, but I wanted to do chapter 29, and this is study 80 in our series, and this is April the 6th, 2016, and we finished up with the prophecy, the evil prophecy to the residue, the ones that were still in the land. And we're going to take up tonight, we're going to take up and try to do the rest of the chapter, which 9 verses deals with, again, with the false prophets that reared their head up and got involved in all of this. And when we get down to verse 26 and 27, we're going to find that Jeremiah was the type of Christ in verse 26 and verse 27 also concerning were that they said that he was mad. And when they couldn't explain the situation with our Lord when he was here on the earth, you know, they said he had a devil or that he was mad. And verse 27, you know, kind of goes along with that, and also tells us, you know, who the false prophet was, and that he was prophesying without being sent by the Lord. And we probably need to go back and see what the circumstances is with that deal. Also, if we have time to do that. So let's go back to 20, and we'll pick up with verse 20 again. Jeremiah 29:20. It's the last verse on the bottom of the page. Okay? And I know you've got a companion Bible tonight, so. It says, "Hear ye therefore the word of the Lord, all ye of the captivity, whom I have sent from Jerusalem to Babylon." And you know, this entire chapter was basically a letter that Jehovah caused Jeremiah to write it down and, you know, and to send it to those that were sent off captive. And it tells quite a few things here that they need to beware of. You know, and one of them was the false prophets. And if any of them that, of the residue, or any of them that didn't go in the first captivity, didn't go over into Babylon, with Nebuchadnezzar's people, if they prophesied back in the homeland and said, "Oh, wait a minute, you know, these are not my guys. I can't use them. They're no good." So he says, "Hear ye therefore the word of the Lord, all ye of the captivity, whom I sent from Jerusalem to Babylon." So he is saying, hear God's word, the word of the Lord, the word of Jehovah is still going forth. And here it's going by letter and being sent to the captivity that's been sent from Jerusalem to Babylon. These captives were caused to be moved from one place to the other, and it was done whether or not these people knew that they were doing God's bidding, but whether they did or whether they didn't, what they caused to be done there was the will of God anyway. And so I just want to get that in too, and to say that. And then we'll, if you have a companion Bible, and we'll get over to the next page. Let me see if I can do it one page instead of two. Okay. 21 starts on the page that we were on. It says, "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, of Ahab, the son of Goliath, and of Zedekiah, the son of Maaseiah, which prophesied a lie unto you in my name. Behold, I will deliver them into the hands of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and he shall slay them before your eyes." So this was what Jeremiah was writing in the letter to these people of 21. It says, "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel." And of course, this is the 15th. It is the 15th time here. It's the 15th time here that that's used in the book of Jeremiah, where it says the host of God of Israel, which is Elohim. 15th time here. "Of Ahab, the son of Goliath," and he was a friend or a brother of the king, the false prophet during the exile into Babylon. So that kind of tells you a little bit of about Goliath there, and that in or of Ahab, the son of Goliath. And certainly he was hooked up with those that were in rule or in power at that time. And he was a false prophet during that exile time into Babylon. It seemed like when those were carried on into Babylon that it was kind of like a water rushing in and filling the void, that others came in and took up the slack. And so this is kind of who we're talking about here. It says, "Then of Zedekiah, the son of Maaseiah," and that was another false prophet, and I think they were compadres in this situation, that they said they were spokesmen for God, but God didn't send them. Which it says, "which prophesied a lie unto you in my name." Now that's pretty clear. They lied when they said that what they got was given them by Jehovah. It certainly was not. And so we get the word "behold" here in 21. And so behold, if you look up where it says behold, there's you know, several reasons why it's given. But I think the lesson here was something needs to be learned from this. So God, Jeremiah says, in God's stead, behold, he says, I will deliver them or give them over into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar. So when they went into Babylon, and of course the captivities were there, and the captivities were being told to build them houses. They were artificers. They could do just about any kind of work that needed to be done. And they were teaching the young guys that were carried away too to do the same thing, because after the 70 years of the 77s, which was to be exacted on them, because this is what God said they owed him for the Sabbaths, that they had not done what they were supposed to do. So after 70 years, they were going to be brought back. And this was God's plan, that they would be brought back. And so, and God's plan for them was that they were going to rebuild the temple again. And so, somebody had to be able to know how to do these things, okay? So he said, I will give them over into the hands of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and he shall slay them before your eyes. He was going to take their life in the presence of the other captives. He was going to send them down there. They're going to come a little later. He was going to get them down there, and in the letter that was sent to them, he said that Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, is going to take their life in your presence. Now he'll go on to tell how he does it. You know, this is kind of the rest of the story, as Paul Harvey would say. And he says in verse 22, so we're getting over into verse 22 now. And he says, and all of them shall, and of them shall be taken up a curse by all the captivity of Judah which are in Babylon, saying, The Lord make thee like Zedekiah and like Ahab, whom the king of Babylon roasted in the fire. So you see, it didn't take long there to determine how Nebuchadnezzar was going to do them in. You know, we've all heard down through the years of the four that was thrown in the fiery furnace. Well, these two didn't get to walk out, because God was not with them in the furnace. And so that was the difference between the four in the fiery furnace. And it says, and of them, that's Ahab and Zedekiah, shall be taken up, or from them taken is a curse. And that curse is called a formula, if you will. And the taken up there is 3947 in the Strong's, and it actually means to take or to take up. And so there was a way of doing this that the people would know for a certainty as to why and what that had happened. So it says, by all the captivity of Judah which are in Babylon, saying. So they added the formula as to these people's demise, because they called them by name. And by it saying, "The Lord maketh thee like Zedekiah and like Ahab." So, so you see, they were given a judgment as to how God sees his justice. And so God can use whatever is at his disposal for his justice. And here he used the king of Babylon. And the king of Babylon evidently roasted him in the fire, because it says, "Whom the king of Babylon roasted in the fire." That was Ahab and Zedekiah, because they had become false prophets and prophesying lies. And these lies were, could have a lot of repercussions on a lot of the captives there if he hadn't straightened it, to get it straightened out. So they were roasted in the fire, and this tells us how they lost their life. That he used, that evidently Nebuchadnezzar used the fiery furnace until it was no longer useful to it, because when he threw Daniel and the guy and the boys in there, it didn't work. And that was certainly an act of God that that was never to be forgotten, because it is in Scripture, it is in writ. But here, it didn't pertain to Ahab and Zedekiah, because they lost their life in that situation. And so we get down to verse 23, and in verse 23 it says, "Because they have committed villainy in Israel and have committed adultery with their neighbor's wives and have spoken lying words in my name, which I have not commanded them, even I know and am a witness, saith the Lord." So the Lord here says, if you need another witness, I'm a witness. I know what went down. I know what happened. And I know what happens. And that's one thing that is really a telling thing, especially in the Old Testament. A lot of people, I guess, had the feeling like if they were hid within the confines of the walls of their own place, they could do pretty much what they wanted to. Maybe that was their mindset in that day also. But it was just like, we can get away with anything. But Jehovah says, I know. And I understand. I see it. I know it to be true because I'm a witness to it. He says they have committed villainy. Villainy there is 5039 in the Strong's. And that is called in other places wicked foolishness. And it also includes the worship of idols. And it was also done in the land, if you notice that. Because they had committed villainy in Israel. And he says they were acting as false prophets, which I have not commanded them. And there's a charge that goes along with that too. So he hadn't ordered them to do any of these things. And he says, "Even I know and am a witness, saith the Lord Jehovah." Well, my one or two witnesses, these things can be a certainty. And Jehovah, if you have Jehovah as a witness, you've got a witness. You've really got one. You don't have to worry about him being a false witness. because he's not. And so you see how dire these things get when excuse me, when people get the idea that they can do whatever they want, whenever they want, without the Lord knowing anything about it. So in 24, it says this, "Thus shalt thou speak to Shimei the Nehelamite, say in 24. So he says, thou shalt also speak to Shimei." And Shimei, you can find back in Jeremiah 26:20. And Shimei is from some of the same family there that was mentioned in 26. Turn back with me a couple of pages, Jeremiah 26, and we'll look at 20. It says in 26:20 of Jeremiah, "And there was also a man that prophesied in the name of the Lord, Urijah, the son of Shimei of Kirjath-Jearim, who prophesied against this city and against the land according to the words of Jeremiah." So this guy's father at one time prophesied with Jeremiah, or the situation was the same, but here they call his son of Shimei a dreamer. They were from down below Mount Moriah, down in the flat area of Mount Moriah, down below the temple area, because he said in 26 that he was from Jearim, Kirjath-Jearim. And Kirjath there, that means that it is a walled fortress of. So Jearim is the city, but it gives you a little more information there, a Kirjath there. And I learned that about 40 years ago, that is a walled city or a walled fortress thereof. And so the father there prophesied against the city and against the land, just like Jeremiah had prophesied against the city and the land. And that was back when they were thinking about doing Jeremiah in, or taking his life. And so Urijah agreed with what Jeremiah was saying at that point, but this guy, his son, they call him a dreamer, that in 24 of chapter 29, they call him the dreamer, I believe. But he's from the same family. "Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts," 25, "the God of Israel, saying, because thou hast sent letters in my name unto all the people that are at Jerusalem, and to Zephaniah, the son of Maaseiah, the priest, and to the priest, saying." So, here again, he is kind of taking liberties as to, I guess, him being who he is, or who he, at least he thinks he is. And he is going to appoint himself as prophet. And it says, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, saying, here again is the 16th time that this is a little saying is used in Jeremiah. And it, I believe it's used 34 times in all, and it's talking about Elohim. And it says, because thou hast sent letters in my name unto all the people that are at Jerusalem. So, he says, because thou art for the reason of you speaking by letters. He says, because you are speaking by letters and lying in those letters unto all the people. So, how many is going to fall for this, you think? All the people that are at Jerusalem, which they're easy to overcome because they aren't in God's will anyway. And to Zephaniah, the one who covers over things. And that's Zephaniah's 6846. If you look it up in the Strong, it says the one who would do hidden secrets or cover over things. And he was good at what he done, evidently. And so they were trying to cover themselves over and appear to be spokesmen for Jehovah. And he said, the son of Messiah, the priest, and to all the priests, saying. So evidently here, this Zephaniah had esteem among those of the priestly lineage, and so he wouldn't really have any problem because his father has being a priest and living close in to the to Jerusalem, he probably would just kind of fit right into all this. So let's see what he said, because it ends with saying. And this is our type. This year is Jeremiah as being the type of Christ. Okay, in 26. And 27 is another place, and we need to look at these if we have time while we're here. To let me get my watch out here and see what how my time is going. Okay, 26. Let's read on. The Lord had made thee priest in the stead of Jehoiada, the priest, that you should be officers in the house of the Lord. For every man that is mad and maketh himself a prophet, that thou shouldest put him in prisons and in stock. So what they're trying to do here is to make their case look good. And again, here is the covering over, if you will. They're trying to make it look like Jeremiah as the false prophet, and they are the real ones. And this is what all this is about. And certainly, Jehovah's not going to allow that to take place. It says, the Lord made thee priest, the letter states. in the stead of or in the place of Jehoiada. The priest that ye Jehoiada the priest, that ye should be officers in the house of the Lord, that Jeff and I should be officers in the Lord's house in Jerusalem. You see, so it says, for every man that is mad and maketh himself a priest, for every ish that is mad or evil or has the devil and maketh himself a prophet. So we need to turn to John and look at this. And so turn with me to John, I believe it is John 2:20 in the book of John. Yeah, in the book of John 2:20. And it starts off with this. And so it says, well, let's start in 18. In John 2:18, and we'll go through 20 or 21. It says, then answered the Jews and said unto him, Christ, what sign showest thou unto us, seeth that thou doest these things? And Jesus answered and said unto them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Then said the Jews, 46 years was this temple in building, and will thou rear it up in 3 days? He said, but he spake of the temple of his body. And he goes on to say that when he was dead, the disciples remembered what he had said unto them, and they believed the scripture of which Jesus was saying. Okay, turn with me over to chapter 7 in John, if I've got these things written down right. I read a lot of stuff, and I had a lot to contend with. We're going to look at 7:20, and that would be on page 1534, I believe. And the people answered and said, you know, when Jesus was answering them, he said, you know, these things, I only do what my Father sends me to do. He said, and the people answered and said, thou hast a devil who goeth about to kill thee. And Jesus answered and said unto them, I have done one work, and ye all marvel. So, they were in disbelief. They were in unbelief, even though he was doing things that they were marveling with. And this is another thing that really comes forth out in God's word concerning how foolish these people that God had chose to be, to carry his word to those people, that they just didn't seem to be able to get their hands on it. 10:20. chapter 10, verse 20. Yeah. And many of them saith, he hath the devil and is mad. Why ye hear him? Others said, these are not the words of him that hath the devil. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind? You see, they were in with him. They were there and they saw these things that took place. Look at verse 39. I wrote that down for some reason. It says in 39, therefore they sought again to take him, but he escaped out of their hands. And so how often did Jeremiah prophesy and they would get after him and take him and sometimes put him in stocks and all. And he would work his way out of it because the Lord had promised him that he would keep him. And so it was 40 years that he did this prophesying. Jeremiah did, and he started when he was 13 years old. So that would have made him, by the time the Lord gets done with him, if he was done with him at that time, he would have been at least 53 years old. And so you kind of see here how it was what these people were doing, saying, that you ain't done nothing with Jeremiah yet. We'll get to that in a minute. But it says he has the devil. Or that he is mad. He maketh himself a prophet. That thou shouldest put him into prison. He's talking about Jeremiah. That thou shouldest put him into prison. They all wanted him locked up again. And they all wanted him dead. Because they were living the lie. They were the ones living the lie. And they wanted to put him in the stocks. And so he was enlisting all these priests in verse 25 to do these things. But Jeremiah, like Jesus before his time was, they couldn't do anything with him. Then we get to the second one in verse 27. It starts out with a question. In 27, it says, now therefore, why hast thou not reproved Jeremiah of Anathoth, which maketh himself a prophet for you? So this was the capstone of their argument. 27 was the capstone of their argument, and again, here he is the type of. It says, now therefore, or now then, why hast thou not reproved Jeremiah of Anathoth, which maketh himself a prophet to you? And so the word there, hath not reproved Jeremiah, and that's is Strong 1605, and it's Goar. And that's to chide or to rebuke. Jeremiah said, why haven't you done something with him? Why ain't you put him in stock? You know, why are you letting him go? Because he's made himself a prophet to you. And so we need again to turn. But this time we need to go to Matthew. Let's see, where is it? Matthew 21:10. Matthew 21:10. We want to read that. Matthew 21:10-14. It says, and when he had come to Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, who is this? And the multitude said, this is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. And Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold us, and said unto them, It is written, My house shall be called the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves. And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. So right after that, here was where he cleaned the place out, and then he turned around and healed some of them. So, you know, he was trying to correct the wrong that had been done there already. And I might have should have told you to keep your finger in John, because we're going to go back to John 8. Go back to the book of John, chapter 8, and we're going to look in two places here. Verse 53 through 59 of 8. John 8. Page 1540. Well, let's go back up to 52. Tommy, I'm sorry I'm messing you. Then saith the Jews unto him, Now we know that thou hast the devil. Abraham is dead and the prophets. And thou sayest, If a man keep my sayings, he shall never taste of death. Art thou greater than our father Abraham, which is dead, and the prophets are dead? Whom makest thou thyself? And Jesus answered, If I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me, of whom ye say that he is your God. Yet ye have not known him, but I know him. But I know him, and if I should say, I know him not, I shall be a liar, like unto you, but I know him, and keep his saying. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Then saith the Jews unto him, Thou art not yet 50 years old, and thou hast seen Abraham? And Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Before Abraham was, I am. Here is the great words, I am. Then they took up stones to cast at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. So you see, they couldn't do anything with him as he spoke the truth. But he says there, again, there is the great I am. And you see, so Jeremiah, being the prophet and being the one sent, he didn't have the problems that the false prophets did. They had to do it under a guise, but he didn't need that. So he could, and Jeremiah didn't either, because God was with him every step of the way on that situation. So that's in my view, that is the connection there that was so great in the 27th verse of Jeremiah. Let's go to 28. He said, For therefore he has sent us to Babylon, saying, This captivity is long. Build ye houses and dwell in them, and plant gardens and eat the fruit of them. So in 28, here he goes back to what he is, you know, to what Jeremiah had said before. He says, Now he has sent us into Babylon, saying, the captivity is long. And this was back in verse 5 of 29, where he said, build houses, dwell in, and plant gardens, and eat the fruit of them. So they were trying to do everything they could to get Jeremiah in trouble, but nothing worked for him. And Zephaniah the priest read this letter in the ears of Jeremiah the prophet, verse 29. And so they had gotten over there, and the letter was read into the ears of those that were there. And then we get down to verse 30. And so we're kind of going to go through this in a hurry, because we're running out of time. Then came the word of the Lord unto Jeremiah, saying, so here is a change in going from the false prophets now to the message of Jeremiah to the captive. In 31, send to all them of the captivity, saying, thus saying the Lord concerning Shemai, the Nealamite, because that Shemai hath prophesied unto you, and I sent him not, and he caused you to trust in a lie. So he's saying, realize that they have written a letter to you in the captivity, but here's my letter, and you need to heed what I say. Thus saith the Lord concerning Shemaiah. Thus saying Jehovah has to Shemaiah the Nealamite, because that Shemaiah had prophesied, he had supposedly spoke for Jehovah. And he said he spoke unto you, and he prophesied unto you, and I sent him not. So Jehovah said he was not my spokesman. He never has been. And he caused you to trust in a lie. And he said the cause there, it means that he had turned you to confide or to believe. And that word is trust there, is bata in the Hebrew. And it means to confide and to believe in something that's not the truth. So we get down to 32, and he says, therefore saith the Lord, behold, I will punish Shemaiah the Nealamite and his seed, and he shall not have a man to dwell among his people, neither shall he behold the good that I will do for my people, saith the Lord, because he hath thought rebellion against the Lord. And I believe I read somewhere there to where one of these guys had gotten scared and left Jerusalem area and went into Egypt, I guess for a place to hide. But, you know, in God's eyes, you can't hide. So, therefore, because of this, said Jehovah, behold, see and understand. Get the message of what's going on here. I will punish, as Pelkat, Shemaiah the Nealamite. I'm going to visit him with hostile intent. That's what Pelkat means. 6485, I believe. I can read my writing. And he's also going to visit his seed family too. So Shemaiah is not going to get away with it. He says, he shall not have a man or an ish. Literally speaking, a son to dwell among his people. Because he's just not going to lack, because he's going to visit them with a hostile intent in his seed. And I believe he was the one that went down into Egypt. So, you know, you can run, but you can't hide. It says, neither shall he behold or to look upon the good or the grace of God that I will do for my people. And certainly he was going to bring them back into his grace after this time period was up. But guess what? Not this guy. Shemaiah was not going to be able to look upon it, saith the Lord, because he hath thought rebellion. And that rebellion is anathema. And anathema is a Greek word. It's not a Hebrew word. It's a Greek word. And it means an accursed thing. And you can go to Galatians 1 and look and find that there. And so Jeremiah said, because he hath thought rebellion, anathema, against the Lord. These accursed things that he had done against the Lord, it means to ban or to excommunicate or excommunication. So, and also it means death. Because if you go to the book of the law of Deuteronomy and look at Deuteronomy 13:5, there's a pretty long verse of scripture there that gives you the understanding of what happens to these people that do this sort of thing. And so he's kind of going to erase Shemaiah out of the picture. Even if he did go into Egypt, that wouldn't be a real problem the Lord to take care of that. But there's lots of things that goes against someone that proclaims to speak God's word. And, you know, I think that still applies in a sense today, that you may get out and you may, for different reasons, say that you're a pastor or a preacher or a healer or whatnot by all these medias that are out there today. But, you know, if you don't know the Lord and he don't know you, there's going to be some repercussions. And I think, and that's just some rambling thoughts that I had right there. But still, if God was concerned then about where he was trying to cleanse the land and cleanse the people and get everything straightened out, when I look around me today, I realize that there's a lot of cleansing that needs to be done here. And I don't think he's changed that much in that situation. So give that some thought, if you will. And we'll go ahead and close. I've spent my time. We got a little bit of a late start, and guess what? I grabbed it, but it's still just about the same time. So thank you for being with us, and we got through with 29. I'm not going to promise you right now where we're going to be next week, but it will be somewhere between here and what we would call the New Testament. But hopefully we'll get back into this walk thing. But when you look at it, and if you go back to Deuteronomy 13 and you look at verse 4 and 5 and maybe 6, you'll see what God said about walking there, to walk in His ways. And the study that Ronnie's going over on Sunday morning, where he talked about all these kings being evil and was not walking in the will of God. And so, you know, the underlying thing of all this is the fact that these people had turned away from God and they weren't walking in the way that God wished that they would walk. But He gave them a choice. And so they're just not doing what they need to be doing. So let that be a lesson to each of us, that we need to make sure and certain of our calling and do what we can to get God's Word put forth in a way that others can understand and come to know Him. By the way, man, we'll close. We thank you for being with us tonight. Lord, as we bow tonight, we thank you again for your grace and your love. And we look back to these times, Lord, and we see what was going on then, and we look at the time when Christ came and was here for the 33 years that He was on the earth. And then we look down the road now, some 2,000 years later, and see that the situation is not much different from what it was then. And Lord, we just thank you for each and every one of you that comes this way on this media that we've chose to use as teaching to. And Lord, that we just thank you for your lives and your testimony, and we thank you for being a child of God, and we thank you for being part of the body of Christ. And Lord, we'd ask that you'd watch over each and every one of us, that you'd lead, guide, and direct, and that you would help us with our eyes and our ears, and that we can read, hear, and understand and comprehend what you have so graciously left for us. Thank you for it, Lord. Thank you for your love. And thank you for your understanding. And thank you for your forbearance down through all these years. And ask that you guide and bless. Be with us. Watch over us. And continue to keep your finger on our lives and minds. And ask you to lead, guide, and direct us. Thank you for each and every one that's come this way. Go with us and watch over us until we meet again. In Christ's name we ask you.